Continuing classes from Art of Chanting, and we've been discussing the different meanings of the holy name, and all the acharyas in our line, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das, Gopal Guru Goswami, Asad Goswamis, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and our Srila Prabhupada, they're all telling us that, at least in the beginning of chanting, because ultimately Krishna's name is Radhan Krishna, Yuga, or Sakshat Radhan Krishna, direct Radhan Krishna. And when we chant the holy name, then they will reveal. If we chant Shudanam, when the Surup Shakti descends into our heart, through the means of Shudanam, by the attractive power of Shudanam, and then that Surup Shakti will reveal everything, the form of Krishna, the qualities, the pastimes, and also our own divine form, our Surup. This is told in the Shastra. But until one comes to that point, then he has to transit through the levels of Nama Parada, Nama Vas, and then from then, after Nama Vas, it's Nama Vas one can chant on their own to some extent. Alone means with the mercy of Guru and with Sambandha Gyan, proper knowledge and understanding of one's identity and the identity of the holy name and proper practice of bhakti. But when it comes to Shudanam, then that's divine dispensation. It has to descend. It's called Avaroha Panta, the path of descending mercy. It comes down like Avatar, Avaroha Panta. So we, Namabhas is basically positioning oneself for mercy, positioning oneself to receive mercy. So all these prerequisites are required to receive that mercy, like Trinada Pisa Nichayana. These four qualities must come in one. And they come in one at the level of Nishta. One is Nishta in bhakti and seva and chanting, then these qualities manifest in his heart. Forbearance and humility, respectfulness of others and pridelessness. And these qualities, they come at the level of Nishta. So this is, of course, this is way below Shudanam. Shudanam begins, you can say Shudanam begins with Ayananda Tanachikinkaram, because this level is a sakti. So Nandanana Janana Sundaram, this is Ruchi, and then after that is Ayananda Tanachikinkaram. I become so attached to Krishna that you can't think of anything else. You don't want anything else but to be attached to him. And you're constantly praying to him to deliver you, and you feel fallen and wretched because so much humility has come in the heart. This is when the name becomes interested. The holy name becomes interested in the jiva when he comes to this point of humility and attachment. The attachment for Krishna is so great, then the holy name comes down to this world and lifts the jiva out of the material ocean. Bhavambuddhi says, Ayin nanda tanushikankaram patitam mam vishame bhavambuddho. Vishame bhavambuddho. Ambuddhi means ocean. Bhava means ambuddho. Vishame Bhavambuddho. Vishame means the ocean of sense gratification, the ocean of forgetfulness of Krishna. So that remembrance comes from Krishna himself. He gives us the power of remembrance, and he appears before us in the holy name. So the holy name descends to the ocean. We're in the ocean of forgetfulness. It's called Bhavambuddhi. And then lifts us up from the wet place to the dry place. The dry place is Krishna's feet. Stita Duli Sadrisham Vichintya. Duli is dry. Duli means raj, raj means dirt. Raja raj. And duli means dust or dirt. So that's dry, and sense gratification is wet. We're all wet. We're wet behind the ears. They say like that. You're still wet behind the ears. Like when a baby comes out of the womb, he has all this junk all over him. So he's wet behind the ears. There's a phrase like that. And you say wet behind the ears, it means you're still a baby. So we're all wet from maya, from this illusory energy. The holy name lifts us up. So that experience of Shudanam will come at Asakti. At the level of Asakti, then coming in the Bhav. So at the level of Nama Parad, which most of us are, let's assume we're there, at that platform, making offenses to the Vaishnavas, the holy name, or to the Lord, or his holy Dham, or even the Jivas themselves, other living entities. Therefore, then we have to mix our chanting with different techniques and practices to help control the mind and purify the mind. So therefore, at the level of Namabhas, which is sadhana bhakti, the acharyas tell us that we should consciously and actively import the meaning of the holy name into our mind while chanting. It's a conscious practice. And there are some elementary meanings of the holy name given. Not elementary, but say beginning meanings, which we've covered. And there's more deeper meanings. And ultimately, the holy name at the level of Shuddha Bhakti and Bhava, the holy name reveals, as I mentioned, the pure name reveals Rup, Guna, Leela. So therefore, when the elevated advanced devotees like the Six Goswamis, when they chant the Maha Mantra, which they do here in this Sadaka Rup and also in Siddha Rup, Seva Sadaka Rupena, Siddha Rupena Chaturhi, when they're chanting in Siddha Rup, and then when they're chanting as Sadakas, then they may be meditating on the meaning on a lower plane. But when they're identifying with their Siddhadeya and chanting on a higher plane, then they reveal these meanings. And when they're chanting, they're seeing each name, Hare is Radha, Krishna is Krishna, and Ram is also Krishna. And they're seeing not one name, they're seeing Hare, and then they're seeing so many pastimes, because the name is Namrukun and Leela. Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya, Rasa Vigraha. So it is a Rasa Vigraha. Rasa Vigraha means that the holy name is actually the form of Ras. What Ras? Depends on your outlook, depends on your own stahibhav. If you're in Madhura Rati, or in conjugal mood, or like a mood of a maidservant, then for you the holy name reveals Leelas and Madhurya Ras. If you're in stahibhav of Sakhi Ras, and you chant the same Maha Mantra, then you'll see Krishna in Sakhi Ras, like coward boy pastimes. And if you're a Ram Bhakta, you may chant Hare Krishna, you'll see all the Hare is Sita, and Krishna is Ram, and Ram is Ram. We read this one from Hari Bhakti Vilas. We'll read it again because this particular meaning is useful for us, and it will help us. We can chant the holy name and mix our chanting with this meaning in our mind while we're chanting. As we read some of the other, we'll read a few, not all of them, but a few just to get the idea. We'll see that there's no limit to Krishna's name and his leelas that are available in his holy name. Jiva Goswami is giving this particular meaning, and it's interesting because it brings one, even as he progresses from Hare Krishna to Hare Ram and Hare Hare, it brings the devotee who's meditating on these meanings or chanting the holy name, it brings him from the point of anartha nivritti up to the place of up to the level of bhava. And so see if you can hear the progression here, and you can follow the progression. So this is Hari Bhakti Vilas. Jiva Goswami says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So Hare. Hare means, O Radhe, please attract my mind and free me from material bondage. So obviously this means anartha nivritti. We're full of anarthas, unwanted things, ignorance, material desire, attachments, and misbehavior. So the first Hare is calling out Radharani, Karuna Mayi, to please attract me and free my mind. Because this word Hara in Sanskrit, Hare means to steal, to attract, to pull. So it means that, like Hari. Hari means lion or powerful or forceful. It also means thief. Thief is sometimes called Hari. And in this case, we're appealing to Radharani. We're saying, Radharani, please steal, be a thief, female thief, and steal my mind, because my mind is in bad shape. My mind is too much tied up with material bondage, too many material things. So Radharani, please attract my mind. Oh, Hare. Oh, this word is not a word. This is Radharani. Hare, oh Radharani. Oh, Hare, oh Hara. Please attract me to you. Attract my mind to you, to your Naam, to your Rup, to your Guna, your Leela, and free me from material bondage. So this, you can say, is an art and liberty. Then it says, Hare, then Krishna, O Krishna, please attract my mind by pulling it to you. So one is attracting the mind, and the other is pulling the mind. Because Karshan, this word Karshan means gravitation, power of attraction, magnetic force, pulling power. It means to pull or to draw, literally. So he's saying, Krishna, pull my mind to you. Because my mind is pulling me in the opposite direction. My mind is forcefully carrying me away from you at a very fast rate. It's called manoratena. And it's a chariot of the mind, manoratena. And it's very fast. How fast is the mind? How fast is the mind? It's very fast. Is it faster than light? Yes, maybe. They say light travels 186,000 miles per second. Is that right?
It takes 9 minutes from the sun to the earth.
Yeah. I remember it takes 9 minutes for the sunbeam to leave the sun and come to the earth. But I heard somewhere along the line, so I guess you can calculate all those seconds. 540, you'd calculate 540 seconds. 540 seconds equals 9 minutes. Right? So 540 times 186,000, and that's how many miles the sun is away. At any rate, the sun, I usually used to hear in science class that light travels at a speed of 186,000 miles per second. Pretty fast. And the mind is faster than that. Because in the Gita and other places, yogis who travel at the speed of mind for thousands and thousands of years, they can still not reach the Supreme. But a devotee, a bhakti yogi, simply by saying Hare Krishna, he can have connection with the Supreme. If he chants Prem Nam, this Prem Nam is Prem Yuga, or Prem Yoga, it's a means to connect with Krishna. So that's very fast. Such a great distance can travel in so fast. So then he's saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So now, he's saying, first is Hare, I'm in material bondage and artha nivritti, and attract my mind and pull it to you. This means some type of nishtha and ruchi. Hare Krishna, then Hare, O Radhe, captivate my heart by showing me your inconceivable sweetness. So if the mind is pulled to Krishna by saying Krishna, that means that you'll be steady. That means nishtha. Then after nishtha comes ruchi. So here we're saying Hare Krishna, then Hare, O Radharani, captivate my heart. How will my heart become captivated? How will my heart become filled with enchantment and lose its attraction, interest in material things, people, places, relatives, family, if I experience something sweet? What kind of sweetness? Incomparable. Atula. Atula means incomparable, right? Atula madhurya. Atula. Atula means balance or equals. Atula means incomparable. So we're praying to Radharani, Hare Krishna, Hare, O Radharani, Hare. Please, you have to do some miracles here. Please captivate my heart. Captivate my heart by showing me your incomparable sweetness. And then, Krishna. O Krishna, purify my mind with knowledge about devotional service given by your pure devotee. Krishna, Krishna. So then Krishna means, O Krishna, give me steadiness to appreciate your transcendental form, name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So this is nishtha, but quite particularly. It's indicated or hinted at in these previous meanings. And then again, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. O Krishna, may I develop a taste for serving you. But after steadiness comes what? Ruchi. After ruchi comes what? Asakti. After asakti comes what? After bhav comes what? You sure? Praying? You're afraid of that? Just not sure. So then there's some taste. And then now it's Hare Hare. O Radhe, make me qualified for your service. So now this, after taste comes, then one gets particular interest. Taste is pointing, ruchi is pointing towards asakti. One of the characteristics of asakti is attachment, not for the practices of devotion, but the person behind the practices. Generally, we become steady in the practices, and we become attached to the practices. We become attached to hearing and chanting, going to morning program, or reading shastra, or associating with sadhus, or living in holy dham. These are different types of devotional attachments, but we're not actually attached to the person behind all that. What is that? What is all that chanting and puja and everything about? It's Krishna, the person. Krishna is my friend. Krishna is my very dear one. It's a sense of mamata. Mamata means a sense of possession. That Krishna is actually a person. Behind all this chanting, I'm realizing he's really a person. He really cares for me. And I have a relationship with him. And it's a relationship or bondage based on love. And you start to become attached to the person. Radha, the person. Gauranga, the person. More than the process. The person behind the process. So that's when one is approaching Prayojan. Because Prayojan means the person. Because you love a person. And love is the Prayojan. The goal is love. To love a person. And the Navideya is the process. The sadhana, the abhyas, the practice. So practice in itself is not exactly, there may not be love there. You're going through all the motions, but there's no love. So now he's saying that, make me qualified for your service. So then one at the level of Ruchi going to Asakti, then they start to think of a particular service for the person. Then, so we have Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Then Hare, O Radhe, please make me eligible to relish your transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So this, of course, indicates Asakti. Then Hare, Hari Ram. O Radha, please instruct me how I can serve you. So now we're approaching Bhav. As a level of Asakti, one begins to have some understanding of their eternal relationship with Krishna in a very clear way. And along with that relationship comes a desire to serve Radha and Krishna in a specific way, like the residents of Vrindavan. Or Navadvip, for that matter. Well, that's generally, it says, like the Vrindavan, Brajaloka Anusarata. It says, Brajaloka Anusarata. Rupa Goswami is saying Nectar Devotion, Brajaloka Anusarata, that one becomes interested and very attached to following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. As they serve Radha and Krishna, we read about their services, we hear about their activities and their feelings, and we become attracted to emulate them or follow in their footsteps. So when in this Hari Ram, this first array, please instruct me how I can serve you. So this is the person, you, Radharani, you, the person, and I want to serve you directly. Because through all my sojourn and at the level of Sambandha Gyan and Vaidhi Sadhana and Raghunuga Sadhana, passing through Nishta and up to Ruchi and now entering Asakti, I've been attached to the processes and the practices of devotion, but now I'm becoming asakti, Radha asakti, attached to Radha, and I want to serve you directly. So this is indicated here. And Hari Ram, O Krishna, let me hear of your intimate pastimes with your beloved Radharani. And then Hari, O Radhe, please reveal to me your pastimes with your beloved Madhav. And then Ram, so it's Hari Ram. So Ram, O Krishna, please reveal to me your pastimes with your beloved Srimati Radhika. So this is Hari Ram. So now this is Asakti, where one is really very much pastimes come to him in the form of Udipan. Udipan means excitant or stimulant to remembering the pastimes of Krishna. It's not that one just chants the holy name and the pastimes come automatically, like falling into a river and flowing in the river. That happens at prema, an upper level of bhav. At the level of asakti, one starts to see, remember pastimes consciously while chanting or reading, or he's moving in the world and he sees something and reminds him of pastimes. So that, and they'll have a desire, he wants those pastimes revealed. Oh, Hari Ram, saying, O Hari Ram, O Radha and Krishna, please reveal your pastimes together to me. That means that the name itself, or name himself, or herself, reveal the pastimes. So then we say, Ram, Ram, Hari Ram, Hari Ram. So then Ram, Ram means, O Krishna, Ram, means Radha Raman. Please engage me in remembering your sweet name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So now this is level of bhava. The level of bhava, the Sarupa Shakti contacts the devotee, and then the name starts showing the form of qualities, everything comes. Then he says, Ram, O Krishna, please make me qualified for your service. Because now he knows the level of bhava, he knows what his service is, and he knows what his identity is, spiritual identity. And now he's, but he requires so many qualifications, an adhikar, to actually do that service. He requires a siddhadeya, a vastu siddhi, or siddhadeya, then he requires to enter the higher realms of prem, sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. That qualification of adhikar, that will come in Boma Vrindavan, because in this body we can only come to the level of prema. And prema is not sufficient adhikar to enter the lila. We can meditate on the lila at the level of bhav, but to actually enter the lila you have to be accepted by the agents. So when one takes birth in Boma Vrindavan, then you grow up as a gopi, then again you get training, you get association with guru in the form of Rupa Manjari, Vrati Manjari, and Guru Sakhi. And then you get the qualification. Then you learn what is man and what is all these feelings. You actually experience them. You may study them now. What is man? What is purvarag? What is prem vaichitya? All these different types of loving sentiments. And what is the difference between sneha and anurag and all these things. But the ability to feel and perceive those transcendental feelings is not there within this human form. It's only when we get Gopi Deya and Boma Vrindavan. Then when that train, then we become truly qualified for the service of Radha and Krishna. Because they are served not by bodies, but by bhav. Radharani is said, she is Mahabhav Sarupini. Radhika, Srimati Radhika is Mahabhav Sarupini. That means her sarup. Her sarup means her own form is made of bhav. Her eyes, her mouth, her nose, her arms. Everything is made of different types of bhav. And that's described in Premananda, Premamboja Makaranda. Premamboja Makaranda, which is a poem by Raghunath Das Goswami, and that's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, by the same thing as quoted by Krishna's Kaviraj. And he's describing your hair is your anger, your lips are your pride. Maybe you've seen this, it's a very esoteric description if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, wait a minute, your hair is your anger and your lips are your pride, your nose is your... Because her nose is not... You can say, oh, Radha's body is such an Ananda Vigraha. She's everlasting. Her body is eternal and everlasting, full of perfect knowledge and full of bliss. Well, okay, that's nice. That's Aishwarya Mai Gyan. That's an understanding from the level of grandeur or opulence, kind of a Vaikuntha outlook. But actually looking into the Braj conception, Krishna conception, everything is Madhurya there, Madhurya Dham Vrindavan. So her body is made of sweetness. What kind of sweetness? The sweetness of Mahabhav, which is particular intensity of love. So then her hands, fingers, everything. So then Raghunath Das, realizing that, he's described like that. So in the same way, when the associates of Krishna, Radha and Krishna and the gopis, they don't serve Krishna with material bodies, nor with Satchitananda bodies. They serve with transcendental feelings, emotional bodies, spiritual emotions. Mahabhav Surupini. Her very form of Radharani is nothing but Mahabhav. And she's serving in all these ways. So when we're saying Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 we're saying Ram, O Radharaman, please make me qualified for your service, then it means ultimately all these things. These kind of qualifications we have to attain. To attain this service of Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. Then we say, Hare Hare. So Hare means, O Radhe, having accepted me as one of your maidservants, please enjoy me as you like. So now this is prema. So this meaning of the Maha Mantra given in Hari Bhakti Vilas by Jiva Goswami begins with Anartha Nivritti. O Hare, O Radhe, please attract my mind and free me from material bondage. Now, in the closing of the mantra, Hare, now we've taken birth in Boma Vrindavan. We've attained Prem Siddhi in this world, Prem Siddhi, and realized our Siddhadeya. In that Siddhadeya, we've traveled to the Boma Vrindavan, taken birth from a gopi, and now we've met the associates of Radharani, Lita Vishaka, these are the teachers, Srutamadar and Rai Ramananda, they're the teachers in Gauralila, and Lita Vishaka, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Vrati Manjari, Labanga Manjari, Rupa Manjari, and our Kamala Mantri Bhaktivinoda Thakur and our Nayanamani Mantri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and our Prabhupada, he's in Mantri Sarup, and our Gurudev in Mantri Sarup, whoever that is. So then they say, oh, we've been waiting for you. So now you attend school, you sit down. Then the training is there, so now Hare Hare, I've been accepted. This is really the whole principle. There's a story in Padma Puran, because once one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, he was asked about the Bharat, Maharaj Bharat story. He said, how is it he fell down? It said that he's on the level of Baba. How is it he fell down? Became a deer. The story's there in the fifth canto. I think everyone's heard the story. So this was the Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami, who is Prabhupada's Shiksha Guru, very enlightened and purified devotee of the Lord who graced this earth. He was born in 1898. Prabhupada was born in 1896. And they were very fast friends. So he replied to this question by saying there's two considerations here. One is that he was at a lower level of bhav, which means because everything has its levels. Everywhere hierarchy, everywhere level. There's four levels of brahmachari, there's four levels of grihastha, there's four levels of anapras, four levels of sannyas. Right? Bahodak, kutichak bahodak, and then paribrachak and paramahamsa. That's sannyas. Then the brahmachari, one is urdhva, rita, there's all this thing. It's in the nashtik, the names, there's one purport in the Bhagavatam. So everywhere there's levels and stratifications. So in bhava, there's like beginning bhava, middle bhava, higher bhava. Just like praying, there's so many praying bhaktis, so many lovers of God. Are they all the same? Is Hanuman have praying? Yes or no? Are you sure? Is his praying greater than Radharani's? But no, how can you say that? They're both pure devotees. They should be the same, right? But it's not. Yeah, so there's levels everywhere. So there's also levels in bhava. And there's levels in ruchi, and there's levels in nishtha. So, okay, admittedly, we can say, yes, he was at a level of bhav, but he did not know his siddhadeya. That's the first point. So he had bhav. What is the lower level of bhav? You turn to nectar devotion, and it tells nine symptoms of bhav. And then it's kalatram. What is it? I can't remember. This is a... Avyakta Kala to him. It says he uses every moment in the service of Krishna. Virakti is detached, and priti lila stali. Priti, he has priti matura vasa stali. He has love or priti. He has love or affection to live in a place of the Lord's pastimes, and attached to hearing Harigata and humility, and all these things are mentioned. Nine symptoms of bhav you can see in nectar devotion. So he had some of those. They have most of those symptoms. But in those symptoms, it doesn't say anything about meditating Astakali Lila, realizing your siddhadeya. So these are the beginning symptoms of bhav. And there is no indication that he was exhibiting any symptoms of ashtasattvic bhavs. Ashtasattvic vikara. Vikara means transformation. So when one actually comes in bhav, the later threshold, later level of bhav, then he's actually experiencing some love of God. And you mix five bhavas together, and then it produces what's called ras, bhakti ras. Stai bhav, and vi bhav, and anubhav, and sattvic bhavs, and vyavachari bhavs. These mix together and produce what's called ras. And this actual bhakti ras, true bhakti ras, first manifests at the level of bhava, higher level of bhava. And in level of prema, it's quite much, very much relished and experienced. So he wasn't tasting any ras, because if he had that ruchi coming from bhakti ras, you're not going to get attached to a deer, but he may be at a level above. So this is one explanation. Another explanation that was given is that Bharat Maharaj, that Krishna, it wants to teach something here about two principles, how in the line of bhakti we have to be careful and cautious. Careful and cautious. Of course, they may sound the same. They're careful and cautious.
Not sentimental.
And he went on to say that Krishna is showing this story that there's no, you're not secure. No, one is not secure in bhakti until he comes to level of acceptance. I'm reading here in Jiva Goswami's meaning of the holy name. It says, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. O Radhe, having accepted me as one of your maidservants, please enjoy me as you like. Because you're my Swamini, you're my controller, you're my Ishvari, you're my Pranapriya, you're the dear one of my life. So when you're a maidservant or a handmaiden, you're called Kinkari. Kinkari means Manjari. Ai Nanda Tanucha Kinkaram. Kinkaram means Kim Karomi. Kim Karomi, how may I serve you? So therefore, when we attain that, when we're accepted by the Master, then our next, first we apply for a job to the Master. Oh Master, I would like to have a job in your kingdom, in your palace. And he says, yeah, let me think. You hang around, we'll observe you. My spies will observe you and see what kind of person you are, and maybe we'll examine your astrology chart. And you just hang around and don't call us, we'll call you. So then you say, okay, I have no recourse, so let me hang around here. So you hang around, and then the reports come in. Oh, he's a very genuine person. He's very well behaved and sense controlled. And he's been mixing up with some of the residents of your kingdom, some of the senior residents here, and they're giving good reports. They like him. Okay, call him in. I've heard good things about you, and your Janma Kundali is quite good. Your chart is very good. So I'm going to accept you as my chauffeur. You'll drive my chariot. Oh, good post. Or you'll brush my hair. Or you'll make garlands for me or whatever. You'll grind chandan for me, like Kubja. Kubja was grinding chandan for King Kansa. So that means acceptance. In the same way, when one takes birth in Vama Vrindavan from the womb of Gopi and gets Gopi Deha, Gopi Sarup, this is called the Sarup City, and it will become Vastu City, which means the eternal perfect spiritual body when a few elements are in place. So it's like practically full spiritual body, externally but not internally. But when we're in the material world and we come to Prema, then we get Swarup City. We realize our spiritual body, but we still have a material body. This is the difference. There you have a spiritual body, so it's Swarup City, but it's not Vastu until these substances, which means Vastu, are in place. The substances are the training and the bhavas. Sneha, man, pranaya, rag, these are the vastu. It's called a bhava vastu or prema vastu. These have to be implanted by sarvasanga, by mercy. Jiva Goswami is saying acceptance. Oh Hare, oh Radhe, having accepted me as one of your maidservants, please enjoy me as you like. So acceptance means, as I mentioned in the story about the master and the servant, or the king accepting a servant. So we take birth there in Bhoma Vrindavan, and then we just go run up and say, okay, Radha and Krishna, here I am. I was meditating you last life. I was chanting lakh every day. I was doing Leela Smaran. I have my Manjari Sarupa. I'm here. I'm ready. Come on. No. First you have to grow up. And you don't actually meet directly Radha and Krishna until you're 12 years old. This is told by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gita Mala. You're born on the planet, you grow up, you run all around the Braj and Nandagram and play in the dirt and get cow dung on your face, everything. Then when you're 12 years old or 6 months, whatever your final age is, because in Bhoma Vrindavan there's growing in all these things. Krishna grows, Radharani grows, this is Bhoma Vrindavan. In the spiritual world, you just go there, when you attain your age, say your eternal Manjari age is 12 years or whatever it may be. So you'll, so during that time, when you get around, before you're just carrying water and you're singing songs about Radha and Krishna, you're meditating, you're almost similar things you were doing here in this Sadaka Roop. Now you're in Siddha Roop, practically perfect form, and you're Siddha Roop. And then, when you're of the proper age, then you'll meet, you'll be singing and meditating, and Rupa Goswami says, hey, Sakhi, hey, Manjari, what are you doing? You're singing so much crazy, like you'll become like Pagalini. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I will become Pagalini. He used this word in Bengali. Pagalini means crazy person. I'll be like, hey, you Pagalini, you're crazy. You're singing like, ah, Radhe, Radhe. Oh, yes, you know, excuse me, what is your name? My name is Rupa Manjari. Ah, Rupa Manjari. No, you can imagine. You meditated all 30, 40 years in Rupa Manjari every day, sang songs, Rupa Manjari Pad, say more, some Pad. You're my life, my wealth, my everything. And now I'm taking birth and I haven't seen you. I've been here for 12 years. I've never seen you. I have no adhikara. You see, according to your bhava, I didn't have the bhava. I was developing my bhava. I was developing my vastu bhavas. That's the bhavas. The hankering. It's called purvarag. You have to develop the purvarag to meet Krishna and his associates. Love before meeting. So, Rupamantri then. They say, well, get up, wake up. Look, I want to train you in some things. You know, I want to take you to my school. Oh, yes, I'm accepting you. Now you come. So first you get accepted by Rupa and Lita and your Guru Sakhi. It's like this. Usually Rupa will come with your Guru Sakhi, Sadguru. And then you'll get training. And then that training, you'll be prepared. You'll get preparation. And then they'll introduce you. Just like the servant was moving around the kingdom, meeting people in the kingdom. Then they gave the report. So the report will go to Radharani. How? By the form of service. You'll make one Vaijayanti garland. You'll pick so many five different kinds of forest flowers. You'll make this beautiful Vaijayanti garland. You'll give it to your Guru Sakhi. Guru Sakhi give it to Param Guru Sakhi. And then Param Guru Sakhi give it to Rati Mandri. Rati Mandri give it to Rupa or Lita. Then Lita, maybe Rupa, probably more like Rupa. Then Rupa, at some point, will go and offer this to Radharani. He said, Radharani, I made this because I know you wanted to offer this garland to Shyam. So she said, oh, this is very nice. Oh, Rupamantri, did you make this garland? No, one of my Sakhis in my group, she made. I'd like to meet this Sakhi. So then the word will come down, who made this, who made this, who made this, who made this. And then it's who made this. Oh, this is Bhaktivedanta Swami Mandri. You know, his disciple made this, and his Sakhi Mandri. And so, well, I want to meet. So then you'll come, and Radharani says, this garland is very nice. I'm going to accept you. I want you to every day make this Vaijayanti garland. This is your seva. Seva Parakashta. So then, that's when you're accepted. When you're accepted by Radharani, then there's no falling down. So, Srila Sridhar Swami was saying that this story on Jad Bharat, it illustrates the two points. One is a lower level above. The other is that even if one is at a very high level, he can fall down. And then he went on to say, even if you're at the level of Surup Siddhi, you can fall down. He said, the only time you can be sure that you won't fall down is when you take birth in Boma Vrindavan, you meet all the associates, and you actually get accepted. So that's why he's saying, please accept me. Having accepted me as one of your maidservants, please enjoy me as you like. So when that servant in the king's kingdom gets accepted, then he's enjoyed as however the king likes. So he's explaining that this is the final point of no return. We say the point of no return. Punarjanma Navidyate. There's no fall down at this level. But he said, this story in the fifth canto of Jad Bharat is illustrating how careful we have to be and how cautious we have to be. So then someone raised a hand. Well, Guru Maharaj, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, is there any examples of someone falling down from Sarup Shakti? Right? Because we said that Sarup Shakti is at the higher level of bhava, and when Sarup Shakti comes to one, then one is in their siddhadeha. One realizes what their spiritual form is at the higher level of bhava. Jad Bharat was at a lower level of bhava. He did not know what his siddhadeha is. There's no description of him meditating Astakali Lila or rendering seva there in his sarup. He was just running around the forest chasing a deer, getting attached to a deer. So although he maybe was using all his time in Krishna's service, somehow there was some small contamination, lack of. So he said, yes, there is, and it's in Padma Puran, and the story is about Vishnu Chitta. Vishnu Chitta was a Sri Ranganath Brahmin. Here, this world, or that world, whatever, it just says he was a Brahmin, a pujari of the Sri Ranganath and Sri Rangaji. I told this story, it's already on tape, but I'm telling it. He was a pujari in Sri Rangam and doing puja. Everyone knows Sri Rangam is in South India. But apparently he was established in his Sarup city. I'm an eternal servant of Ram, and Sri Rangam is Ram. Ranganath. So one day, two girls came there, two young ladies came there. So these two ladies showed up, and then one girl said to the other, she said, you know, I think this pujari is pretty cute. Aside from Ranganath, he's nice, but so she said, I think I want to stay around here and see what I can do. So her older sister said, well, okay, do your thing. So then she went to the Mahanta, the temple, the in charge of the temple, the Sevite, and said, I really like Rangaji. It's a very beautiful surrounding here, very nice atmosphere. I would like to render service to the deity. Sulaiman said, okay, you hang around, you can make garlands, or whatever this stuff, you know, the lady stuff, they always make the garlands, all that stuff. So she was doing that, and Vajari, he was a brahmachari, he was in the, supposedly he's an example of someone at Sarup City. He was absorbed in his service. And the lady would give him garlands, he wasn't attracted, wasn't thinking, and nothing like this. Absorbed in his seva. This Vajari service to Rangaji. So then the rainy season came, and it was a very heavy rainy season in South India. So one day she was out collecting flowers in her sari or whatever. So I suppose sari. And it was heavy rain, and so she got totally soaked. And all her clothes were like kind of stuck on her body. And so all her, you know, charms were rather accentuated or available or visible or something like that. And then the Pajari went to get some garland, and he saw, and then he got too much attracted. And then maybe she became a little more interesting or aggressive or something. So then they fell down. He fell down. And then he was quite connected with that girl or lady. So then she decided, okay, I've had enough of this guy. So she left. She left. And she said, I'm leaving. I'm going back to my home. And he said, wait a minute. You can't just do that. And he was very attached. So then he left. So he left his seva. And he's on the level of Surab City. This is at least he's given as the example in Padma Puran. So he left and he went with that lady. And she said, listen, I don't want to see you anymore. I don't want to hang out with you, be with you. If you want to associate with me or have my association, you have to bring me some gold or bring me something. So he had already exhausted whatever savings he had already. And so he said, okay. And she went in her house and he was just moving around here and there in the town. And this is some other nearby town from Rangaji. And so then he was sleeping one night on the veranda of some house or whatever. Outside veranda, he was just sleeping. And I forget what temple it was. Some other temple. I don't think it was Srirangam. It was some temple. And that was a temple in that town. It was Lakshmi Narayan temple. So that night, Lakshmi Narayan, sometimes at night they would walk around the city, the deities. They would walk. So Lakshmi and Ryan, they went for a walk. And they walking, and then Lakshmi, she saw this Brahmin, because he's dressed as a Brahmin, big Brahmin thread, maybe big belly. Or South Indian Brahmins are pretty easy to spot. Quite, they have big earlobes and all these auspicious bodily features that they have. And all that, whatever, tilak. So, an obvious shikas and all this. So Lakshmi said, what is it? Brahmin is lying on the veranda, just sleeping. It looks very strange. And then Narayan says, yes, maybe we should find out what his problem is. So they woke him up. Narayan knew what the situation was. He says, yeah, let's see if we can help him. He looks like he has... Oh yeah, Lakshmi said, Narayan, can't we do something for him? He looks like he's destitute. He's just lying here on the veranda of this shop or whatever. And then Narayan says, yes, yes. So they woke him up and they said, Brahmin, you know, you're like this. Yes, I don't have any money. My wife, she ran away from me, ran home, and she doesn't want to see me unless I bring some gold or something. I'm destitute, I'm poor. So then Narayan, who he thought was just some rich guy, and his wife, they were all decked out and dressed up. He said, listen, I have this gold spoon. You take this gold spoon. It's a gift. Thank you. So Lakshmi and Narayan, they left. Went back to the temple and went to sleep. So then the Brahmin, he went to the house of his wife, former wife, estranged wife or whatever, and said, open up. And he said, well, who is it? Oh, it's you. What are you doing? Get out from here. No, I have this gold spoon. I have this gold spoon I can give you. Please, you take this gold spoon. So then the former husband, he said to the wife, he said, you take this gold spoon. So she said, okay, you come in and spend some time over here. So he bought a little extra talk time on his charged up his card, a little extra talk time on his cell phone. And then the next morning, when the Pujari went into the temple, that local temple of Lakshmi Narayan, he found, when he went to make the offering, one gold spoon was missing from the Lord's plate. The plot gets thicker. So then immediately alarm went out. Someone's stolen the gold spoon. And he went to the king, because the king was always connected tightly with the deities. Usually built the temple or whatever, or his ancestors built the temples. And they were also devoted. They were Vaishnav kings. So they're very much connected with the deities, monetarily and spiritually and emotionally. So then said, King, the Lord's spoon, golden spoon. So then the guy made a big, his messenger hit the big drum. That's how they would pass the news. They have a big drum in the town, these big, huge kettle drums. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, listen, 6 o'clock news. And then they made an announcement. Heary, heary, the king is announcing that Lord Lakshmi Narayan, someone stole the deity's golden spoon. And whoever that is, they should immediately turn that over to the king. Otherwise, we're searching everywhere. If we find it, that person will be killed. The announcement was there. So this lady was saying, oh my God, this is a very fancy golden spoon. And she says, where did you get this spoon? She asked her husband or whatever. He said, I was sleeping on the veranda. Some lady and man, very well-dressed, they came and they gave it to me. I said, really? Anyway, however, you didn't steal it. Anyway, so then she took the spoon and she went to the king. She said, here's the spoon. And he said, how do you got it? She said, oh, this guy gave it to me. This guy means her husband, and she didn't have so much regard for him. So then the king said, maybe they arrest him. They put him in the dungeon, in the jail, prison. So he was there, and he was in the jail, the former pujari for Ranganji. So now he was there for some time, and then Narayan appeared in a dream to the king, that deity, that Lakshmi Narayan deities of that town, that village. He appeared in the dream of the king and the head pujari, as is done also in Jagannath. He said, listen, king, this Brahmin that you've arrested for stealing my gold spoon, actually I gave him that gold spoon myself directly the other night, a week ago. I was touring the town, out in the town with Lakshmi Devi, and I happened to see this vagrant person lying there in a destitute condition, so I bestowed upon him this my own personal spoon. So you please let him free from jail. So then the next morning the king woke up and consulted with the Hebajari, then he let the person out and said, you go, you're free now. The Lord has appeared in my dream and told me you should go. So then the Brahmin was walking back towards Sri Rangam and he was reflecting on this whole Leela that happened, or not say Leela, but say anecdote or past episode of his life, because you can't say Leela. Leela is the Lord. The Lord has Leela. This episode of his life, and he thought, oh my God, that means when I was lying there, that gold spoon was actually given by the Lord himself. And the Lord appeared in a dream and told the king to release me. And what has happened? I was fixed in the Lord's service. And somehow the Maya overcame me. I left my eternal service. And he came back to Sri Rangam and he met the Mahant, the head owner of the temple. Please engage me in my service. Yes, yes, you come back. We're waiting for you. So this was given as an example in Padma Puran of someone who he was in this material body. He was a devotee, a great devotee of Sri Rangam. And he had realized he was in Surup City. He was established in an eternal service to the Lord here or there. But somehow, so this was cited. So therefore the story of Bharat Maharaj is meant to teach us that we should be very careful and cautious, even if we're at a very high level of bhava or even higher, that we can fall. We're safe and secure once we enter Boma Vrindavan and we've been accepted by Radha Krishna. This is the conclusion given by Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So the final meaning of Hare is, O Radhe, I beg you to be pleased with me. So this is the meaning of the Maha Mantra given by it's in Hare Bhakti. Really. Excuse me? What she
saying? She's saying, my guru said the spiritual life, you have to be selfish.
I like to take English words and do what they do in Sanskrit. Because in Sanskrit you take a word and you can, it's called Sandhi. Like we say, Krishna Nanda. You can say Krishna Nanda. I say Krishna Ananda. It's called Sandhi, means the joint. Like Sandhi, Tri Sandhya Vandanam, morning and night and morning and afternoon and evening. So the juncture. So you there's a word Krishna and Anand. You put them together and it becomes Krishna Anand or Krishna Anand. It depends on how you want to break it. So it's Krishna Anand, it means Radharani. One who gives bliss to Radharani. It's Krishna Ananda. It's Krishna's bliss. There's different ways and meanings. And this is what Acharyas do. So I like to do the same thing with English. Because English is also like that. English is a joint. We say, adjacent. There's like Jason, add and adjacent. There's a combination, a prefix. We call it prefix and suffix. So we take this word selfish. So selfish. One who makes the self his controller is selfish. Isha means controller. Ish means controller. Selfish. So a devotee is selfish because he engages his self in the control in the service of the Ish. Selfish. So this is selfish. So here Guru Maharaj is saying in spiritual life we should be selfish. So yes, we should dedicate ourselves to the service of the Ish. Or selfish means we're very eager, our self is engaged in the Ish, though. We should be selfish, engage ourselves in Krishna's service. But the material meaning of selfish means that you take everything for yourself. But the spiritual meaning of selfish means you dedicate everything to the Ish. You dedicate everything of yourself. Self in English means Atma. Atma in Sanskrit means self. Self means soul. So Atma means soul, Atma means body, Atma means mind in Sanskrit. So dedicating the body, mind, and soul in the service of the Isha, that's selfish. So devotees are selfish because they dedicate, which means they give everything they have. What do we have? We have a body. We have a body and a mind and a soul. So whatever we have, which is body, mind, and soul, we offer to the Isha. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Paramishra, Sri Krishna. And that's selfish in the spiritual definition. But the material definition of selfish is anybody in my environment and everything in my environment, I take it. I don't give, I take everything from me and keep it for me, for my pleasure. Everyone should serve me. Everyone in this world should serve me. Everything in this environment should serve me. It's a man's world, they say. It's my world to enjoy. To have and to hold. These are the marriage vows. To have and to hold. What is that? It's all exploitation. I have you and I hold you. It should be I serve you, I surrender and serve you.